We're going to rearrange the stage a little bit because I'm a mover. I'm a mover and I'm a pacer. So good morning. How's it all going? Good? It's good to see you this morning. Hey, Pastor Ryan didn't know one more thing that we're going to celebrate this morning, but isn't our worship team awesome? I'm so blessed by our worship team. They don't come to the 9:30 service. They come to like the 7:45 service. And you said, I didn't know that we had that option. Well, we don't. It's called they get here early to prepare their hearts and prepare their songs for service. And this morning, they got a text at 3 in the morning. And if you get a text at 3 in the morning, it better be for an important reason. And our worship leader, Steve Stratton, pretty much said, I can't be there this morning. And you want to hear what his excuse was? Because my wife's going to have a baby. We're like, sure, buddy. Mine too, right? mine's not having a baby. Just so you're... How do rumors get started, huh? Well, Steve and Brittany, and we just got the text during worship that they had their little baby girl this morning. Her name is Golden Bravery is her name. 7 pounds, 2 ounces. So he was honest in his excuse for why he couldn't leave worship. And we are so excited for Steve and Brittany. So make sure if you see them or are friends with them on Facebook just to congratulate them. And I tell you, what a great family and that they're raising. And they've got some awesome kids. And we're so excited with them. So we'll let Steve lead worship for us again. You know, we'll let him back on the team. And but great job this morning leading and stepping in. In his absence, John and the team. So great job. Well, I'm excited for today. There's John. I'm excited for a lot of things. I really hope tonight you're planning on meeting us in Auburn. It's going to be great. Just a great time to build community, a great time to relate together and have some fun. So and show off your skating skills. So be back in Auburn at 6 tonight. It's going to be great. I'm so excited for the series that we get a kick off today. We've been talking about becoming aware as people. And how many know in the times that we're living in, God is asking for his church to be aware, right? God is asking for his church to understand what's going on around us because there's a lot going on and we need to be wise of the times we're living in. And so I'm super excited to kick off our series that we're going to be talking about for the next 6 weeks. And we've entitled it, We Are. Okay, so look at your neighbor and say, we are. We are, right? Dot, dot, dot. We are what, right? We are hungry. We are, what are we? And so we're going to be taking the next 6 weeks, and we're going to be diving into the core values that God has given this church generational hope to walk in, to operate in, to function in, and to be as a church and as individuals. And so we're going to be taking the next several weeks going over these. Sometimes on Sunday mornings we might cover two, so hold on, right? We might cover one, but we're just going to be really saying, God, who have you called this church family to be? What have you called us to cling tightly to in this season? And what have you called us to raise our families and teach the next generation to be? And so I'm super excited as we get to talk about who God's identified this house as. And I tell you, there's nothing more exciting to me than to just talk about the identity that God's given us. Amen? I think that's a pretty incredible topic because I know there's a lot of, what's the right word? I'll say influences that want to define who you're supposed to be, right? You hear it, you can pick up on it, you can see it operating in our children where our society wants to tell our children who they are. Our society wants to tell Christians who they're supposed to be. But I want to get my value and my identity from what our Heavenly Father says. And I want to get the values for this church on values that are kingdom principles, not just ideas that we hear. Amen? And so I'm excited that we get to talk about that. How many of you know, when it comes to us as individuals, a lot of times our reputation goes before us? Right? Some of you said amen, and some of you said, oh, bummer. Right? Depends on the day, right? Sometimes for me, it's like, oh, man, when people come up to you and go, oh, I know all about you, you're like, and that's a good thing, right? I've heard the famous one, I've heard a lot about you. Thank you? Or should we just part ways now and have nothing to do with each other? But I want my reputation as a Christian to be something that is positive. Amen? And something that goes before me where people say, oh, I've heard all about you. I've heard all about your family. I've heard all about what you believe in. My heart in this series, it's not just to lay out different things that I think are going to be good things for the church. Oh, I think this is going to make us be a better church, and so we're going to talk about these things. My heart is that we can elevate, we can promote, and we can identify the characteristics that God says we're supposed to be and that God has called us to walk in, not just to have good principles. Because if you wanted to have good principles for your life, you could probably go to a leadership conference tomorrow and get some pretty good stuff, right? But we're not talking about just things to add to your life. We're looking at principles that God wants to build in us that are his kingdom principles. And so so it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great series. Pastor Ryan, myself, a few others are going to be sharing about it. And so I get to do the intro today, which I'm excited about. And I was thinking about this topic of we are. And for me, it has everything to do with identity. It has everything to do with knowing what you're about, knowing your purpose. And I was thinking about it this week, and probably the number one question that I had to address as a younger man, I'll say a younger man because I still feel like I'm young, growing up, was why do I do the things that I do in my life? Okay, why do I act the way that I act? Why do I believe in the things that I say I believe in? And why do I do what I do? And I think that was the number one thing in my life that I needed to establish in order for me to be successful in my own life, but in order for me to be successful with the Lord. And I think as a parent now, I think the number one thing that I want to teach my sons is that they would know what's important in their life when it comes to faith, and that they would know what's important in their life when it comes to representing God's kingdom here on this earth. Right? Because as a parent, I don't want to just tell my kids, oh, we do communion once a month, so be respectful and don't drink your juice too early. Because we had that conversation this morning. But my point is to teach them, why do we do the things that we do? Why do we take communion? Why do we remember what Christ did on the cross? Okay, so that's one of the things in my parenting plan that I really am excited about, because we want to be people that teach our kids the why of what's going on. You know, as a parent, we talk to our kids a whole lot about choices, right? The importance of making good choices. The importance of knowing why you're doing what you're doing. I mean, every day when I drop my son off for football, I say, okay, make good choices, right? When they go to a friend's house, make good choices. Why? Because I want them to be successful, and because I know the power of a choice. And I know that one little choice that may seem little can have eternal impact on his life. And so that's why I tell my kids, make good choices. So this week, I don't know why the Lord works, but we had a little scenario in our household, and it happened yesterday, and we were getting ready to get out of the house, and I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth and probably saying, we got to go, we got to get in the car. And one of our sons decided that I left the bathroom cabinet door open, and he decided that he was going to sit on the cabinet door. And no sooner did he sit on the cabinet door, did the cabinet door rip out of the cabinet and fall to the floor. And after I didn't react with a yell or anything else, I looked at him, and he was shocked, and I said, "Why did you do that? Why did you sit on the cabinet?" And if you've raised sons, you know the answer to that question isn't always the answer that you would expect. Why did you jump out of the tree if you knew it was going to hurt? And his answer about the cabinet, he looked at me and he said, "I don't know why I did that." So like any good parent, what did I do next? I got down to his level. I talked louder and slower. "Let me ask you again. Why did you sit on the cabinet?" And then I got the answer I wanted. No, I didn't. He looked at me again and said, "I don't know why I sat on the cabinet." So the parenting technique, right, didn't work. And I asked him about 3 or 4 more times, "Buddy, why did you do that?" He's like, I don't know, Dad. I just sat on the cabinet." I'm like, perfect, because cabinets are for sitting on, right? Cabinet doors, that's what you do with them. No. But I began to think, and I had to chalk it up to, at the end of the day, he's 8. And the second thing is, like, have I as a parent taught him the value, right, of not sitting on cabinets? Or I have taught him the value of how you're supposed to treat the possessions that God's given us. And for me, it came down to an issue of value in him. You know, I could blame him on being a knucklehead and look at him, but then I look at myself and say, have I done a good job as a parent of teaching him how he's supposed to act and how he's supposed to react to this world and to our furniture in this situation? Because here's what I was thinking about when it comes to value. When there's an absence of value in our decision-making process and in our thought process, our choices are going to be subject to our emotion, to our feeling, and to whatever whim we feel like acting in that moment. When there's no value attached to our choices, right? But when there's value that's attached to our choices, then our choices are going to fall in line with what we value in our life. You know, and again, we're talking about cabinets, but then I think about other choices that we see young people make and we see adults make in their life, and especially young people. A lot of the choices that they make that will impact their life forever, like, how am I going to act in the issue of purity in my life? What do I think about drugs and alcohol? What do I think about this God thing? A lot of those choices that are bigger, they have to be made from a place of value, not a place of emotion, whim, or fad. Questions like, why do they believe what they believe? Questions like, how does a Christian life look different than that of a non-Christian life? Okay, what does that mean? I mean, and we're faced with that question all the time with our kids. Well, why don't we do that, Dad? Well, we just don't, son. Well, but why? Well, because we don't, son. Don't ask again. Just don't do it. It's not going to work, right? But our lives look different than our non-Christians because of we want to represent Jesus, because we have a personal relationship with him, because we've called to have fruit in our lives that matches the fruit in the kingdom. Okay, a number of different reasons. I read a statistic this week, and they said that the millennial generation, which is, I'll say, the young adult generation, they say is walking away from the church in droves. Like, droves means a lot. Okay, they're walking away from the church in a lot because they're saying the church doesn't meet their needs anymore. And my first thought as a parent, and just being very honest, is, well, that's pretty selfish, right? Your needs aren't being met, and so, right? That's my first thought. But if I really take a step back, I'd say, do they value the things that they're being taught in the church? Because if there was a value attached to church in their life, I don't think they would walk away from it. I think they would want everything to do with it, because where there's value, they're going to invest their time, energy, and everything else. And I've thought, yeah, it might be selfish, but have we showed them as the church what true kingdom living is all about? You know, I said a couple weeks ago that I believe that the Lord wants to use the church, and I believe he wants to use this church to speak into some pretty important issues when it comes to our community, to our nation, and to our world. Social issues, racial issues, sexual issues, important issues. I believe that with my whole heart, that the church is supposed to be a major voice in that. And I believe God's going to open doors for that if we walk in those things that he's called us to. You know, issues like abortion. Man, we need some positive voices when it comes to the issue of abortion. How about issues of, and I'm going to say it, issues of pornography? Whew, right? I believe the Lord wants to use the church to speak into those type of issues. But again, if we're not talking about the value of purity, the value of God's original design for marriage and sexuality, then I do not think they're going to hear our message, right? There has to be value attached to purity. There has to be value attached to life. Otherwise, it's just going to be a matter of choice, emotion, personal preference, different things like that. And so I want to look about a scripture that I've read a ton of times, and it just stuck out to me. And it's in Matthew 6, and we're going to start in verse 19. And this is Jesus, and this is part of his Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking to the disciples and the people that are hearing him about what it means to walk in kingdom living and what it means to participate in this new kingdom that Jesus is talking about. And it says this. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you becomes dark, how great is that darkness?" Okay, so again, he's talking to his disciples about what it means to be part of the kingdom. And he throws this thing, and from face value, and every time I've heard this scripture, a lot of times they're talking about money. A lot of times they're talking about earthly possessions and earthly pressures that we all deal with. Okay, we all have pressures of finances. We all have pressures of our houses and our earthly possessions. And Jesus is pretty much telling them, say, hey, don't only focus on the things that you think you need, but focus on eternal things that are treasures. Okay, so that's on face value what Jesus is talking about. And he was keying in on these physical possessions and materials that could truly give his disciples a false sense of security. Okay, that could give them a false sense of value. And I think again, we could all be challenged and say, do we put our value, do we put our security in the things that we can touch and our material things in our house and our jobs, right? That could be a sermon on its own, right? But I'm not going to go there this morning. But I want to take it a step further, and I want to really get to the heart of what I believe Jesus is saying in the scripture. Because I believe at the heart of what Jesus is saying is a heart that is talking to them about value, about priorities, about importance, and about passion. Okay, he's talking to them about not just their possessions, but he's talking to them about what do you value? Where do you find your identity? It's not just a message on being poor and giving everything that you own away. Okay, but he's talking about some important things. So over the next 6 weeks, our heart in this series is, number one, to allow God to examine the things in our life that we put value on. Okay, I didn't say to change the value that you put on things in your life. I just said, allow God to examine the things that we say are valuable to us. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? God, would you search our hearts? Would you show us the things that we attach value to? Okay, verse 19 in our scripture says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on this earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Okay, so in my mind, my question, the question I would ask you this morning is, in your life, what do you consider is valuable? Okay, not a rhetorical question. Think about it for a minute. What do you attach value to in your life? Okay, what is important to you? What are the things that are important to me? Okay, and I think to answer this question, we've got to go into how we were created to be, how our thoughts work, how our mind works. Okay, so when I ask that question, what is valuable in your life, some of the sub-questions would be, what do you make time for in your life? Okay, is that a better way to say it? What do I make time for? Because again, with only 24 hours a day, I only have so much time, and I've got to sleep for like, what, at least 6 hours, 5 hours, 16 hours, no, like 5 hours, right? But what do I make time for in my life? Think about it. And again, these things aren't good or bad, but if I say family is valuable to me, then how am I making time for my family? By having a family day, by having family dinners, by being nice to my family. I could probably go on and on. But if I value them, then where's my time? How about this? And some of you are going to despise me for this one, but your job. You all, whether you like your job or not, have value attached to what you do Monday through Friday. Okay? Even if you hate your job, there's value attached to it. How do I know that? Because you're on time to work usually. Right? You get up early and you prepare yourself to show up. And I know that because if you didn't, thank you. You wouldn't have a job, right? You wouldn't have it. How about because you see it's valuable for you to keep your job so you can continue to provide for your family. Okay, many of you have dedicated years and years of schooling for your job. Why? Because there's value that's attached to that job. Again, even if you don't like that job, there's still value that's attached to it. How about your spouse? I said family, but spouse is a little different. Because my wife will say, honey, do you love me? And I say, well, I married you, didn't I? That's not what she asked, right? She said, but what she's saying is, honey, do you value me? Honey, or she's saying, show me that you value me. By what I do, by my actions, by how I listen to her, by how I speak to her, by the things that I do to show her, tell her that I love her. Okay, so I think when we talk about value, I think time. My mind goes to time. Another place that it goes to in my mind is, what do you value? What are you thinking about right now? What are you thinking about when someone goes, hey, are you there? Has that ever happened to you? And you're like in a daze, and they're like, what were you thinking about? And you're like, do I have to tell you, right? Because it wasn't that deep. It wasn't that important, right? But what are the things that we find ourselves thinking about? You know, I was reading this week, I was talking to my kids about the power of the tongue. You know, and in Proverbs 18, it says this. It says, from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. Because 99% of the time, what comes out of here is a result of what was in here. And it says that by the things that we speak on, we are satisfied on those things. I also think about value, about the things I value. And if I value something, I'm going to defend the things that I value. Wouldn't you? You know, if I see someone, I could go to a material thing. If I see someone and they're trying to mess with my family, I'm going to defend the things that God's given me. 1 Peter 3:15 says this. It says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Then do it with gentleness and respect. So there's a principle of defending the things that we value. When someone says, why do you go to church? Why do you give 10% of your income to the church? Be ready to defend the thing that you value. And hopefully the answer is not like, well, I think I'm supposed to go to church, right? Or I want to tithe because my wife's making me, or whatever the reason is, right? But we're called to defend the things that we value. Okay, another, when I think of value, I think of what are the things that I show off? I talk to someone, and they start talking about my kids. And man, before I can even tell them my kids' name, I've got like 1,800 different pictures for them to look at. You want to see this one? This is last Christmas. You want to see this one? This is when we were hunting. You want to see this one? This is yesterday. Right? Because I want to highlight the things that I value. So there's an element of an excitement, and there's an element of good pride when it comes to things that you value in your life. Okay, the last area when I speak of value, I value the things and I sacrifice for the things that I value. Okay, there's a level of sacrifice that comes with value. Okay, think about that for a minute. Right? You don't have to convince me of sacrifice either. I will do anything for the things that I value. And you'll look at me like you're crazy, right? Because we might not have the same value system on things. The second thing when it comes to value is, I think, who calls those things valuable? I think that's a question we have to ask ourselves. Who defines these things as valuable? Because what I look at the scripture in Matthew is, there's a value system that the world says is valuable. Come on, think about it for a minute. The world says valuable is, I mean, fill in the blank. You watch the news, you read the newspaper, just like I do, right? But the world attaches value to certain things. And again, those aren't bad things, but where we need to be careful is where we don't attract a false value on something that the Lord hasn't called for us to value. Okay, so the question is, who defines what's valuable in your life? In this church, who defines the things that are valuable? And we know the answer. We want God to define those things. Okay, that's the goal. Okay, the second thing when it comes to who calls these things valuable are the things in my life that I think are valuable, just things that I've been taught, but they're really not part of the heart of God. Right? Scripture talks about the traditions of men. Come on, think about it for a minute. Jesus spent more time battling with the Pharisees than he did with the non-believers. Why? Because they were attaching false value to things that they deemed more important than actually were. Okay, they said, you can't do this on that day. You can't do that. You have to pray this way. There was traditions that they had built up in their mind that they placed high on the value chart. And Jesus came along and he said, hey, it's not a matter of what comes like out, it's what you're putting in. Okay, he said, he said, it matters what you put in, not what comes out. I said it backwards. I apologize. Okay, Jesus said, it doesn't matter what you see, it matters what's on the inside. And I think, man, there's probably a lot of things that I've adopted in my life that aren't based on God's word, but are based on traditions, preference, different things like that. Number two, I believe in the next 6 weeks, we're going to discover to build a culture as a church and to build a life based on what is valuable and close to the heart of God. Okay? Over the next 6 weeks, as we talk about our core values, we're going to determine what's close to the heart of the Lord. Okay, verse 20 says this. It says, it lay up treasures in heaven. We just read the scripture. Okay, this term, treasures in heaven, has everything to do with what's important to the heart of God, what's important to the heart of eternity. Okay, it's not talking about what's important necessarily here on this earth, but what is important when it comes to life ever after. Okay, because it says to lay up those type of treasures. Okay, putting priorities in your life that will matter for the eternal purposes, and they're not subject to go out of style. They're not subject to be a fad. They're not subject to just be a method. You hear what I'm saying? Right? We're not talking about method, style, preference. We're talking about what's on the heart of eternity. Okay, there's principles and foundations of the kingdom that go beyond method and practice. Those are the things over the next 6 weeks that we want to focus on. Because I'm convinced, just like fashion will come and fashion will go, right? Thank God some of the fashion goes. Different methods of doing church will come and go, but the principles, the values that we want to walk in as a people will not grow out of style. Okay, 1 Timothy 6 says this, and I want to read it, 6:17 through 20. It says this, it says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They, you and I, are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for yourself as a good foundation for the future, so that you may take hold of that which is truly life. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Okay, there's a lot of things out there that are called knowledge, but it's false knowledge. Okay, the scripture says, do good, be rich in good works, ready to share. And then he says, if you do these things, that's truly living. Okay, I tell you, I love my life. I love life. I believe that we should enjoy living the life that God's given us. And if you don't think that way, man, let's talk, because this life is so fun to live. And it doesn't mean things have been easy, right? The opposite sometimes. But I wanna, as the Bible says, I wanna know what it means to truly live. Come on, isn't that our heart? Man, I don't wanna get to the end of this thing and say, man, I didn't live. I was doing it wrong. Man, I wanna truly live. God, I want to know what that means to truly live. It goes on and it says, avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what the world calls knowledge. Man, I think about all the little things that I find myself debating, arguing, fighting over, putting such high value on, and at the end of the day, is it an eternal issue or is it an issue of preference and opinion? Lord, forgive us where we've made opinion and preference your word, where we've made our opinion and attached eternal value to those things. Lord, I don't want my opinion to get in the way of what you say is important. That's my prayer. But we want to find ourselves attaching value to the things that God attaches value to. The third thing I think we're going to learn over the next 6 weeks is we are going to align in our hearts what is of value to be a reflection of what we do with our life. So there's going to be an alignment that comes with the things that we value and then what we're actually doing. Right? You see the difference? I value it, therefore I do it. Not, I value it so that you can do it, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Right? But I value it, therefore I do it. Okay, the scripture in verse 21 of our text this morning says, where your treasure is, so there is your heart. Okay, the treasure is the place where what you have is valued, is stored up. Okay, that's what it means in the New Testament. It means the place that you put your valuables at. Okay, and the word heart, and I love this definition of heart because it's not talking about the beating muscle. It's talking about the center seat of all spiritual life, the center seat of the soul, the center seat of the mind. It is the fountain of your thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. Okay, so when the Bible says where your treasure is, there's your heart, I say where the things that you value, you're going to find what you put who you are into. Okay, everything, your endeavors, okay, your passions. I heard a speaker a number of years ago says, you say this, but your actions say something else. Okay, we say that to our kids. You say this, but your actions say otherwise. So as a church, when I look at our church, I say, hey, we value these nine things. It doesn't mean we value anymore, right? But we value these nine things. Therefore, the things that we do in our daily life, in our ministry, in our worship, is going to reflect the things that we value. You see the connection? So we as Generation Hope, we value the generations. Well, so therefore, since we value the generations, our ministry is going to be reflected by what we value. We're going to say, kids are welcome. We're going to say, seniors, we love you. We're going to say, we care about our youth. We care about our families. Okay, we're going to make a place for the things that we value. The fourth thing in closing today, I was going to start talking about one of the values, but then we would have been here all morning because preachers always have too much to say. So I was wise this morning, and I cut my sermon in half. But number four, the fourth thing that I want you to learn over the next 6 weeks is I want us to be able to say, as a people, we are. We are. And what I mean by that is I want to look at Matthew 16. And it reminds me of when Jesus was talking to his disciples. And this is later on, right after the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to his disciples. Chapter 16, verses 13 through 16. And it says this. When Jesus arrived in the villages, he asked his disciples, what are the people saying about who the Son of Man is? Remember the story? What are people saying about who the Son of Man is? They replied, some think John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And he pressed them, verse 15, and how about you? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. in the next 6 weeks, I want to be a people that can say, we are. Okay? We are because we know who He is. Here's what I know. A lot of people have an idea of who they think God is. A lot of people have an idea of what they think church is. Come on, I hear it when I talk to the unchurched. Who's God? Oh man, he's just gonna mess me up if I disobey. What's the church? They just want your time and money. Come on, think about the opinion, the reputation of who they think our God is. The reputation of what they think the church is. They think you're hypocrites. They think I'm probably the worst hypocrite. Because you're a pastor, and pastors have moral failures. Hypocrite. Okay. Back off a little bit there, buddy. But there's a reputation. What are the people saying about who this Jesus is? Who's your God? Who do you serve? I think, unfortunately, a lot of well-meaning people have done a lot of things in the name of God that it doesn't represent the same God that I serve. A lot of people have misrepresented the heart of God by their opinions, by the things in their life that they value that are probably have a bad price tag on those values. And what I love here, what Jesus does, is He says, hey, that's fine what people think of me, but what do you think of me? Who do you say that I am? What do I mean to you? And I think that's the heart of this series, is to say, what as a people do we value? Who do we say that Jesus is? We say He's love, but is He love? We say He's faithful, but is He faithful? We say He's good, but in your life, is He good? Do you really believe that? And Jesus is going to Peter and saying, hey, but who do you say I am? Because it's important that we answer that question for our lives. It's important that we answer that question for our church. Would you stand up with me this morning? So we're going to go on a journey over the next 6 weeks, and we're going to talk about these values, and that these values that we talk about aren't just great things, but I believe they're things that if you look at the heart of God, you're going to find these values close to His heart. And I want us to be able to answer without hesitation, we know who we are, God, because we know who You are. And so as we close, would you just pray with me, and then we're going to transition. But Father, we do just come to You this morning. Father, all over this room, Father, we just focus upon You today. Father, we thank You, Father, for the things that are close to Your heart. Father, for the values. Father, for the principles. Father, for the character that is close to Your heart. Father, we want to be people that know why we value the things we value. Father, we want to be people that can stand confidently with the areas in our life that we call as valuable. Father, I don't want to be a church that says we value one thing, but then our actions don't do that. Father, I pray over this next 6 weeks that You would open our ears. Father, I pray over this next 6 weeks that You would open our minds. Father, that we can truly say, God, would You examine the things that we value in our life? Father, the things that are of You, would You examine those things? Father, the things that maybe are not of You, Father, would You examine those things? Father, our desire is that our values would line up with the things that You value. Father, and that we as a people would be able to answer the question, well, who do You say about Jesus? Because we know who You are. We know what is at Your heart. Father, forgive us for where we've attached false value to things that aren't valuable to your heart and your kingdom. Father, would you rearrange our lives? Would you rearrange our priorities so that our values and your values are the same? Father, thank you for the things that you've called us to carry. Thank you for the things that you've called us to walk in. And Father, thank you for the things that you've called us to pass on to our sons and daughters. Father, would these things come alive in our hearts over the next 6 weeks? In Jesus' name, I pray all these things. Father, bless your people today. Amen. 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 Well, God bless you. If you, before we close, if you want prayer, I just want to invite you to come after. There's some people that would love to pray with you this morning. Also, we're going to have a great day. So be back in Auburn at 6 o'clock tonight. Get your skate on. God bless you. You are released.